If you're staying in here with us, you can go ahead and turn in the book of Daniel to Daniel chapter 4. And we picked up this book a few weeks ago. And in our story today, we're going to see how how Nebuchadnezzar is humbled. Nebuchadnezzar is actually going to write this chapter. He's going to tell his story of how he was proud and then was brought low. And I was trying to think about my own life. When have I been humbled? When have I been brought low from a place of being high? So I grew up here in Huntington, Texas. I went to Huntington Middle School. I went to Huntington High School. And I could tell a lot of stories about sports where I was humbled. Most of the teams I was on thought we were something, but we actually weren't. Okay, so we'll just leave it there. But in school, I did pretty well, right? Felt pretty good about my schooling, and I ended up graduating second out of 100 people, which is a big deal, right, in a small town. And thought I was something. I thought I was the top dog, or at least the second top dog, you know. And so I was accepted and enrolled at Texas A&M University to study engineering, and that's when I was humbled. Right, because you enroll in a university with 50,000 students and all that, and you quickly realize being 2 out of 100 in a one red light town really doesn't mean all that much. I showed up to freshman orientation, and they told us, "Hey, we want you to look to the person to your right, look to the person to your left, and 2 out of 3 of you won't make it." I'm like, guys, what are we doing here then? If 2/3 of us are not going to make it through this engineering program, but I really quickly realized I wasn't that big of a deal. The whole world is full of a lot smarter people than me. And humility is one of the most important and maybe one of the hardest character traits for us to attain. Without humility, we think of ourselves as the center of the universe. Without humility, we think that we're the top dog, the most important, the God of our own kingdom. Without humility, we really can't accept grace or forgiveness because we don't think that we need it. Without humility, we actually stand as enemies and in opposition to God. And so today we're going to read about Nebuchadnezzar and his story of how he was humbled and how he came to a right view of who God was. So let's look at it. Daniel chapter 4, we'll read the whole thing together. It says, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. It has seemed good to me to show the signs and wonders that the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, how mighty his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion endures from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and prospering in my palace, and I saw a dream that made me afraid. As I lay in bed, the fancies and the visions of my head alarmed me. So I made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon should be brought before me, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Then the magicians, the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the astrologers came in, and I told them the dream, but they could not make known to me its interpretation. At last, Daniel came in before me, he who was named Belteshazzar after the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And I told him the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, that's Daniel, chief of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy gods is in you, and that no mystery is too difficult for you, tell me the visions of my dream that I saw and their interpretation. The visions of my head as I lay in bed were these. I saw, and behold, a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew and became strong, and its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its leaves were beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and in it was food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the heaven lived in its branches, and all flesh was fed from it. I saw in the visions of my head as I lay in bed, and behold, a watcher, a holy one, came down from heaven. He proclaimed aloud and said thus, Chop down the tree, and lop off its branches, strip off its leaves, and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth. Bound with a band of iron and bronze, it's like a collar, amid the tender grass of the field. Let him be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from a man's, and let a beast's mind be given to him. And let 7 periods of time pass over him. The sentence is by the decree of the watchers, the decision by the word of the holy ones, to the end that the living may know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men, and gives it to whom he will, and sets over it the lowliest of men. This dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, saw, and you, O Belteshazzar, Daniel, tell me the interpretation. Because all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in you. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was dismayed for a while, and his thoughts alarmed him. The king answered and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation alarm you. And Belteshazzar, Daniel, answered and said, My lord, may the dream be for those who hate you and its interpretation for your enemies. But the tree you saw, which grew and became strong, so that its top reached to heaven, and it was visible to the end of the whole earth, whose leaves were beautiful, and its fruit abundant, and in which food was for all, under which beasts of the field found shade, and in whose branches the birds of the heavens lived, it is you, O king, who have grown and become strong. Your greatness has grown and reaches to heaven, and your dominion to the ends of the earth. And because the king saw a watcher, a holy one, coming down from heaven and saying, Chop down the tree and destroy it, but leave the stump of its roots in the earth, bound with a band of iron and bronze and the tender grass of the field, and let him be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts of the field till 7 periods of time pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king. It is a decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king, that you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven. And 7 periods of time shall pass over you till you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. And it was commanded to leave the stump of the roots of the tree. Your kingdom shall be confirmed for you from the time that you know that heaven rules. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. Verse 28. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon, and the king answered and said, Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power, as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? And while the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. What a picture. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will among the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, What have you done? And at the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors, my lord, sought me, and I was established in my kingdom, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of Heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just. And those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Let me pray. God, we thank you for this testimony this morning from Nebuchadnezzar of being humbled and realizing that you are the only king forever. You are the king who is eternal. You're the one who's at the center of it all. You're the one who rules over all. And we bow in submission to you this morning. God, I pray where there is pride in our lives, God, that you would allow us to humble ourselves. And if not, God, your word says that you will humble us. And so I pray that we would heed the counsel of Daniel today, God, and we would humble ourselves before you. We love you. We pray all this in your son's name. Amen. Amen. All right. We got 12 minutes. Let's see how this is going to go. This chapter is written by King Nebuchadnezzar himself. The introduction kind of signals where he's going with this, and he's going to tell the story of how he was prideful and how he was humbled, how he came to realize and praise God above himself. See, his pride had led him to believe in his accomplishments and in the world, right? He's the king of the known world at this time. And it's led him to this place where he feels like he is the center of the universe. He's a big deal. He's number 2 out of 100 in a small town, right? He is a big deal. And God humbles him. And he comes to a place where he realizes, no, it's not my kingdom, but his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. He realizes that God's kingdom and what God is up to and what God is about is not some temporary earthly thing with some gold and some hanging gardens. No, his kingdom is the main thing. His kingdom is the one that will endure forever. And how did he come to this conclusion? Well, there's kind of four headings that'll help us. It starts with pride. He has to go through humiliation or humbling. He has to come to a recognition before he can be restored, right? He starts with pride. He has to be humbled. He recognizes the truth, and he's restored. Now, it's important today that we don't just read this as history and go, wow, cool story. A king becomes a cow and all this, right? Like, and it's interesting, right? It's a cool picture. Interesting, right? But this pattern that we see, pride, humiliation, recognition, restoration, is exactly the pattern in our lives as Christians. That we too start in pride. That though we were created in God's image, we are all sinners who are prone to believe that we are the main thing. That our word is the true word. That the world revolves around us. Pride. We elevate ourselves over God. But in order to become a Christian, as Hudson did this week, as Waylon did this past month, we have to come to a place where we acknowledge our sinfulness. And that is humiliating, to have to own the fact that I have chosen my own way over your way, God. I have wrecked my life. I have done all sorts of evil and wicked things. That is humiliating to have to come to that point. But we have to. We also have to come to a recognition of the truth. We have to acknowledge there is one God who rules over all things, and actually he's the one at the center. He's the one that rules above it all. And through that humiliation and that recognition of the truth, we can be restored. We can be restored into a relationship with God that we were intended for from the very beginning. Through Christ's death and resurrection, we can be restored. You see how this is not just the pattern in Nebuchadnezzar's testimony, but this is the pattern in every one of our testimonies. That I was prideful, God humbled me, I realized the truth, and now look what he's done in my life, right? That's the story that we're going to see today. So let's talk about it. The king, it tells us, he was at ease and prospering in his palace, right? You've probably seen Babylon had the ancient wonders of the world. It was one of them, the hanging gardens, right? And Nebuchadnezzar is walking around. Everything is going well in his life. His kingdom is thriving. He's in his golden era, as some might say. He's soaking it all in. And in the midst of this golden era, as he's had before, he has a troubling dream. And it's really interesting because he's already had a dream and Daniel's told him the dream. But instead of going to Daniel, who does he go to? He goes to his own wise men, his own enchanters. Why? Why doesn't he go to Daniel, who he knows can tell him this? Nebuchadnezzar believes that he is God. He's the center of all of this. He doesn't want to hear the word of God. He doesn't want to hear from Daniel's God. He believes that he can do this on his own. But as it was, those men could not tell him. They could not interpret his dream. And so he finally reluctantly calls Daniel in. And this was his dream, and I don't have a picture of it. It's kind of too big to draw, but there's a tree that's so tall and so expansive, right? It grew to the heavens, it filled the earth, and that tree was visible to all. It was prosperous, it provided food for everybody, and then somebody came down from heaven. It's called a watcher or an angel or something. We don't know what this is, but he comes, there's a word from heaven, chop down the tree. Strip it of its branches, strip it of all its leaves, scatter everything, leave the stump, but get rid of it all. And this tree in his dream, as only in dreams can, this tree morphs into some sort of animal, some sort of beast of the field with a collar around its neck, with dew on its back, meaning it's sleeping outside, it's eating the grass. Right? Anybody ever had crazy psychedelic dreams like this? Don't tell me, never mind. Nebuchadnezzar is so confused by this. What does this mean? But I think he really does kind of get it. He kind of gets it because he tells us that the point of this dream is that God rules over all, and there is no earthly kingdom that endures. So finally, the king tells Daniel all these details. And Daniel makes it very clear, just as he had done before, right? I can't do this for you, king, but God himself can. God gave you this dream for a reason, and God will give me the interpretation. And so Daniel listens to this, he understands what it means, and he too is troubled. He knows what this means, and he doesn't want to tell the king, you're about to have a downfall. But he goes ahead and he tells him, that king, you're the tree. You're the one. You've grown strong in the earth. You've grown tall to the heavens. You've spread out your kingdom in all the earth. Your greatness is known by all. You are prosperous by all means and measures. But God is telling you this, that he is coming to chop you down. He's going to drive you from your palace on high, and he's going to drive you low to be a beast of the field with dew on your back eating grass. And this is going to happen for 7 time periods. We don't know if those are years or what. The point of it being this, until you finally realize, until it's complete, until you finally realize that God the Most High is the one who rules over all things, not you, right? Now, there's a bit of grace in this, right? Because he tells them to leave the stump. Why is that grace? Because if there's a stump, anybody ever chopped down a tree and left the stump, and then a year later you got more tree growing? Anybody ever battled this stump for a long time? Stumps are resilient, right? And he tells him to leave the stump because it's a picture that I'm going to restore you. If you'll humble yourself, then I will restore you and your tree can grow again. And so Daniel tells him all of this. This is bad news. You've grown to be big, God's going to tear you down, and if you'll humble yourself, God will restore you. And so he tells him this, and then at the end of that interpretation, you can see it in verse 27. He says, therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable to you. Break off your sins by practicing righteousness, and your iniquities by showing mercy to the oppressed, that there may perhaps be a lengthening of your prosperity. That's not part of the dream. That's Daniel's advice to the king. And what does he tell him? Hey, you need to repent. You need to turn from your sin. And you need to turn to God. And you need to live out your faith. You need to love. You need to show mercy. All these things that he tells him to do. Repent. turn to God and seek forgiveness, and maybe God will forgive you. That's what Daniel's advice to the king is. It's not part of his dream, but that's what he tells him. Maybe God will do something if you seek after him. And what does the king do? He kind of takes all this in, and he dismisses Daniel, and he goes on about his life. He doesn't heed Daniel's advice. He doesn't learn anything from this dream. He doesn't repent of his sin. And it seems that there's about a 12-month period that goes on where nothing happens. And you imagine Nebuchadnezzar's mindset in this. He's had this dream. Everything's going to come crashing down. And a year goes by and nothing's happened. He's thinking, hey, maybe I just, maybe everything's cool. Maybe this is going to work out. But what was really happening in that moment is he was developing a harder and harder heart. He continued in his old ways. He grew accustomed to some kind of, he wanted to come to God and get his interpretation, but he didn't want to come to God to be changed. He wanted to come to God to receive the blessing from him, but he didn't want to come to God to follow his ways, to own that he's the king over all. He likes this surface level knowledge. He doesn't want the real thing. And so in a short matter of time, about 12 months, it tells us in verse 30 that the king is basking in his own prosperity and his own glory on the roof of his palace. Does anybody speak like this about themselves? Anybody in the room? Do you bask in your own glory? Anybody? Maybe not out loud. Maybe we do in our hearts. But he says in verse 30, "Is not this great Babylon, which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" Like, who talks about themselves like that? Who says such prideful things? And for whatever reason that day, that was it. That was the straw that broke the camel's back. As Nebuchadnezzar boasted in his pride and his glory, a voice was heard from heaven, and here's what it said. "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken, the kingdom has departed from you, and you shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox." Right? What God had warned him in the dream, and what is what God tells him will happen in this moment, and that's what happens. Nebuchadnezzar, something changed that day. His mind, his disposition, he went mad. And he left the temple and he went to the field to live like an ox, eating grass, getting rained on, getting destroyed by the elements. He's got crazy hair. His nails are out of control. He is a picture to be seen. And in those seven time periods, whether those are days or months or years or who knows, something revolutionary happened in him. The proud man died, and a humble one was born. The man who boasted about how eternal his kingdom was realized how temporary he really was. The man who believed he was greater than anyone on the earth was brought lower than everyone on the earth. The superhuman on top is brought to a place of being subhuman with the world on top of him. But it wasn't just physical, right? This is not just a physical thing, because Nebuchadnezzar's physical humiliation led him to a spiritual recognition, right? His physical humiliation led him to a spiritual recognition. And whenever that purpose in his life was completed, it says that he lifted his eyes, just as he had done in the temple that day, looked at his eyes, looked at Babylon, boasted in his own majesty. Except at the end of this, he lifted his eyes to heaven. His gaze is not on himself. His gaze is on God. See what God has done. Now he has some spiritual awareness. And it tells us that when he lifted his eyes and his reason returned to him. You see, the essence of sin is that our reason is off. We believe things that are evil are actually good. We've got a twisted sense of what is real and what is true. We reason things that aren't good for us are. We justify why it's okay to do that and not do this. See, but in that moment, as he has this recognition of the truth, his reason returns to him. He sees God for who he really is, and God makes a switch. Just like he did in Hudson's life this week. I can't explain it. Hudson's been adamantly, nah, I'm not a Christian. Nah, I'm not interested. No, I'm not a Christian. But when God does something in our life, there's a switch. It changes us. And he changed Nebuchadnezzar this day. And Nebuchadnezzar comes to a place, you read it at the end, and here's what he says, I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. This is the same guy that built a statue of himself and made everybody worship it. This is the same guy who's praising his own self with his own words. This is the same megalomaniac who is consumed with himself, and God has brought down and humbled him to recognize that God's over all things, to recognize that I'm temporary and I'm frail, to recognize the truth that God's ways are right, not my ways. To recognize that God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And as Nebuchadnezzar realizes his pride and goes through this humiliation, he recognizes the truth. God restores him. Why? Because God is the God above all kings, the one who establishes them and tears them down. His is the kingdom that endures forever, and all earthly kingdoms are temporary. See, what happens to Nebuchadnezzar here, and I love that we have this testimony today, because it tells us the truth about our own lives. See, we all live in this same pattern, and some of us get stuck on pride. Some of us never leave that point. We never humble ourselves before God. We think that we know it all, we have it all, we can do it all. We think that the world revolves around us and what we believe, right? We're all sinners who are prone to think of ourselves as the top dog. But if you're ever to come to Christ, if you're ever to have a relationship with God, if you're ever to be restored, you have to be humbled first. To come to a place where you recognize that you're a sinner and your heart is evil and wicked before God that needs forgiveness. And when you own that sin, when you own your own frailty, your own failures, and you recognize the truth that there is a God who rules over all things and controls all things, then you can be restored to what you were intended to be, which is to be in relationship with God. Jesus died and took our place so that we could be restored, so that we could have a relationship with God. And so what should we learn from this passage today? I think it's the same counsel that Daniel or Belteshazzar gave to the king. Repent, turn to God, and seek forgiveness. Turn from your sin. Own it. It's real. It happened. Own it. Be honest about it. Turn to God. Turn to him and seek forgiveness. He is a God who has shown through his son that he's willing to forgive us no matter what we've done. I hope that's what we hear today from this story. Repent, turn to God, and seek forgiveness. Because God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Let me pray. God, I thank you for this story. I thank you for Nebuchadnezzar being willing to share this, to own his own pride, to own his own failure, his own weakness. I thank you for every Christian who's gone down this same path, to be honest about their sin before God, to call it out for what it is, open rebellion against you. God, I pray and I thank you for this example, God. I pray that we too would humble ourselves. We would admit where we've fallen short, but we would recognize the truth that there is a God in heaven who loves us and desires to be in relationship with us. And he proved that by sending his son to die on the cross for us. And I pray this morning for those who know that they need forgiveness, that they would seek that in you. They would call out, God, I've fallen short. I pray that you would forgive me. I pray that you would restore me back to what I was intended to be from the beginning, a son and daughter of the King. God, we thank you for this word this morning, and I pray that it would be real in each one of our lives, God. We love you and we pray all this in your son's name. Amen.